Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. And we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, "It's Time to Share the Gospel." It's time to share the gospel. And all the gospel means is good news. How many believe that the gospel is good news? Was it good news to you when you first heard it? Oh, yes. One of the things that I realized is that my sins are now forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven of my sins, and I'm no longer headed to a fiery hell, but I'm heaven bound. Amen? And to know that you're heaven bound should bring great joy. That should be great news. This morning, we're going to look into two wonderful lives of our Lord Jesus and Paul the Apostle. And those two were actually the forerunners for the gospel. And we're going to look through the Word of God that was their agenda, that was their heart, that was what they were called to do, was to preach the gospel. And I love what Paul said it best. So let's go into the Word of God. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 14 through 17. And just allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? Here we go. Paul wrote, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." Before I go to the next verse, that was Paul's desire, was to preach the gospel. Now, when you preach the gospel or share the gospel, it doesn't mean that God's called you to a pulpit ministry. I've been called to a pulpit ministry by the grace of God. But you and I, even the congregation, a brother and sister in Christ, has the ability and has the mandate and has the commission to share the gospel with your loved ones, with your friends, your family, your co-workers. Why? Because you never know who God's going to call. The Bible says some plant and some water, but only God can give the increase. Amen? And so we need to trust God that God is going to do something miraculous when we share the gospel. Now, how many of you right now have friends and family that need to know the gospel and to learn to obey it and to receive it? Okay, so if that's becoming a desire within you, then know that God put that desire in you for that. Why? Because the Bible's clear. God does not want any to perish, but come to a place of repentance. So Paul understood this, and we're going to read this scripture right here. Look at this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation." Did you catch that? Salvation. When you share the word, when you preach the word, there's power behind it. He says, "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek." The Greek meaning Gentiles, us. We're Gentiles. "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Wow. Well, isn't that a blessing to know? That the just shall live by faith. And so, you need to understand one thing. Because we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've been washed in the blood. We received His Holy Spirit. We're now what's called, the Bible says, we're born again. So now we can live by faith. Now, the word just comes from the word justification. And so you need to put this in your spirit, because the devil will always try to condemn you even when you slip and fall and you make mistakes. But you need to look how God looks at you through the lens of the scriptures. Justification, it says, the just shall live by faith. That means we're walking now on this planet because we've received Christ just as if we never sinned. What? How does that work? We can't do this on our own strength. Only God can proclaim that over your life through faith. Through faith. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at this for a moment. What is the gospel, and can you explain it? Here's the key, and this is why I brought this message forward, so that you would have a clear understanding and maybe learn from this message and how to present it to those who do not know Christ. You see, that's the key. You have to know what the gospel is, which is the good news, and learn how to explain it. Listen, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to a seminary. Listen, God has given us the Word of God. And if you study the scriptures and if you learn God's ways, you'll be able to share that automatically without veering off, because God's Word will always stand. God's Word's already settled forever in heaven. And so, saints, even though Christians are familiar with the gospel, many are reluctant to share it because they don't feel capable of explaining it to someone else. How many can honestly say, just honestly say, that sometimes it is tough for me to share because there's things that I may just not understand thoroughly to share with others? Okay, we've all been there, done that. Okay, when I first got saved, I didn't know a lick of scripture. All I knew is that Jesus saved me and he wants to save you. And then I remember I have 11 brothers and sisters. And as soon as I got saved, I was so filled with the zeal of the Lord. It was like someone gave me an AK-47 and I was just, brrr, repent or perish, repent or perish. Brrr. I had no wisdom. I had no knowledge of the Word of God. There was no grace. There was no compassion. So when we present the gospel, there has to be compassion. We got to understand that because they don't know what we know, we don't lord it over them, but we share it with a meek spirit and with authority of God's Word and with the love of God. You need to share it to unbelievers through the eyes of mercy, the eyes of grace. Because remember when we were knuckleheads, how many times did people come and share with us? Huh? Yeah, and we had to, for me, I went through the school of hard knocks as an unbeliever. You know, I used to confront those guys and get out of here with that. But God had his way with me down the road. And so some fear negative reactions from people and intimidated by the questions they may ask. There's going to be some folks, man, they're going to come up with, I'm talking unsaved people. They're going to challenge you, you know, in what you have experienced now, you know, your salvation. And if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word, you'll get stuck. They'll ask you some questions. Well, where did Cain find his wife? You know, they'll come up with all kinds of stuff to try to, you know, bamboozle you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, just learn the simplicity. And listen, here's how you can really defer things. Well, you know what? I may not know that question that you're asking right now, but I can ask one of my elders or pastors, and they will find me the answer. Let me get back to you with that. Never say, well, I don't know. Just say, hey, that's a good question. I'll get back to you with it. Write it down. And then search it out and come back to them. Say, oh, okay, here's the answer. So saying, since we're confronted by so many incorrect philosophies and deceptive beliefs, we need to understand the gospel and how to present it to others with boldness. You got to be bold. That's right. You guys remember Evangelist Felipe Reyes? When he would preach, he told me, he goes, I don't look at faces. He goes, some faces will give me dirty looks. You know, so he said, all he does is just scan and don't try to catch eye contact. Why? Because it'll throw off a preacher if he's not rooted and grounded. We can't let fear and ignorance keep us from giving lost people the only message that can change their eternal destiny. We have to be bold. So what if someone ridicules you and laughs at you? It's okay. That's all right. Because we used to do that to them, right? Come on.
Sure, I did.
There was a guy named Jose Tejeda. He ran the mill. He was one of the lead men. He ran the mill at Dixie Line Lumber, and I was his helper. And I remember lunchtime. We got an hour for lunch. I would park way down by the docks, you know, to get away from people. And I would just roll up my windows, and it would be a Cheech and Chong scenario. You couldn't see who was sitting inside no more. And then on the window, on my side, and I rolled down the window and all the contact just flew out. And then it cleared up and it was Jose. He had a little track in his hand. He said, Jesus loves you. Now, I didn't give that response. Wow. Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for that. I got out of my car. I got that track and I ripped it up and I grabbed him by his shirt neck. I said, if you come and do that one more time to me, you're not going to have a face to look at. Oh, yeah. You know, because I didn't know God. And he was just sowing seeds. But one thing I can honestly say, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He was not afraid to come and approach me, knowing the kind of person I was. He came because God put it in him to share the love of God with me. And I couldn't tag him. It was like there was a force shield. I couldn't hit him. God was watching over him. Amen? So let's first look at Jesus. Let's look up here, right here. It says, the gospel's place in Jesus' life. Let's look just shortly on his life. We're going to touch on his life, and then we're going to look at Paul the Apostle. And so Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. Praise God. And saints, Christ was commissioned, empowered by the Holy Spirit to travel throughout Israel. Praise God. Praise God. Teaching and preaching the gospel and the kingdom wherever he went. And what was the famous slogan that came out of Jesus' mouth was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so that was his agenda. Now, remember, when John the Baptist, this is Jesus' primo, okay? This is his first cousin, okay? John the Baptist was baptizing a bunch of souls in the desert for the baptism of repentance, okay? But he said, one will come that's greater than I, that I can't even tie his sandals. And so Jesus was far off and he saw him. And Jesus said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God just supernaturally showed him. He never met his cousin as an adult. And Jesus slowly came, and he said to him, I'm not even worthy to tie your shoelaces. But Jesus said, so that scripture can be fulfilled, you need to baptize me. And so John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. And when he came up, the sign of a dove fell on him, which is the sign of the Holy Spirit. And the heavens opened up, and a voice came forward and said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Wow. And everyone heard that. And so right after that moment, he got out of the water. And the first thing that took place is he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was led to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And that's where old Slewfoot met him. See, this is what happens to brand new Christians. Just a little tidbit I want to share with you. With brand new Christians, you're going to be tested the hardest. That's right. The enemy will bring so many distractions into your life to throw your focus off of Jesus. I've seen it in 32 years of ministry. And one of the things that's really, I really feel like, man, this is so unfair. God, why do you allow this? But someone will get saved, and they're on fire, and they're serving God, you know, and it's the next best thing than sliced bread. And then the enemy sends an uncircumcised Philistine and pulls them away. Instead of embracing and falling in love with Jesus, they fall in love with someone else and throws them off their course. This is where you have to be strong in the power of his might. This is where you need to pray and fast. Young Christians, if you're watching, those who are here, be strong in the power of his might. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Because if Satan can destroy the course that God has planned for you, then he's done his part. But I'm letting you know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. If God be for you, who could be against you? You need to stand boldly and say, I'm a child of God. That song today is, I'm a child of God. How many believe that you're a child of God? You got to believe you're a child of God. And that God has purpose in your life. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to bless you. God wants to lead your life to the path of righteousness. But you got to surrender. You got to give it all to him now. Listen, what did the world give you? Heartache and pain. We were filled with demise. It was like, is there anything better than this miserable life sometimes? That's how I used to think, because it was no more. I didn't have joy. I would have roller coasters of happiness, but I never had joy unspeakable and full of glory. So now, going back to this message, after Jesus went into the wilderness, tested by old Slewfoot, he came back in the power of God. And look what was the first thing he did. He walked in right into a synagogue. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when we look at poor, it's not someone that's homeless. They're poor in spirit. They're spiritually bankrupt. Religion took them only so far. And by the way, in those days, only the Pharisees had the scriptures. They withheld a lot of things from the common folks to the congregants. They weren't cared for like ministries today care for the poor. It was all about what's in it for me. That was about it for them. So Jesus, his whole mission, the 3.5 years, was to train others to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, so that once he trained them, they would know what to do to go out and carry the commission. That's right. Let's look at the next verse of scripture right here in Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, during those days, the whole world couldn't hear the gospel. So Jesus was talking about a future event. And now the gospel can be reached through satellite, through internet, everywhere at once. So we are now in that end time dispensation. That's why we're seeing all the things that he mentioned in Matthew 24 earlier on. Now, Jesus spent 3 years teaching his disciples before giving them their lifelong assignment. And look at this next verse of scripture. He said this, and this is for us today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That is now our commission. That is our mandate. We need to share this with people. Listen, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I'll tell you something. When you share God's word, there's something that you don't see with your natural eye and you don't hear with your natural ear. Because when you share the gospel, the word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to go down into the bone and marrow. So when you share Christ with someone, it does not come back void. It's a live word, and it goes and it gets sown into their heart by faith. We don't know when God will quicken them and bring them into salvation. All we've done is we've obeyed God and we shared the word. We planted. Some of us watered, but only God can give the increase. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? So Jesus, for 3.5 years, that was his life, was to train 12 apostles and then the disciples that were there as well. And let me just say this, they turned the world upside down. They did. Those 12 apostles, the result is you and I here today in 2022. Still hearing the word of God. They died and they bled so that we can have fellowship with Christ even 2,000 years later. So let's look at this now. The gospel's place in Paul's life. We just touched on Jesus. There was so much to touch on Jesus. We just scratched the surface. But for the message and the time's sake, we're going to shift to Paul the apostle. What was Paul's purpose? What was Paul's purpose? It's right up here. He was set apart for the gospel of God. Set apart. Listen, most churches that claim to be born again, evangelical, that is the Great Commission, that God would sanctify us and set us apart. We should be different from the world. Can I get an amen? The world has its own agenda. They have their own lifestyle. And you know how you can tell, and we're not to judge, but the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. But how many people do you know that it's in their language? There's no praise God. God bless you. Let me pray for you. There's bleepity bleep, 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 and bleepity bleep, bleep. And, you know, and they'll say, Jesus Christ, and then bleepity bleep it right after. Okay, so we know that is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? So we're not to condemn them. We're not to ridicule them. This is a great opportunity to share the love of God with them. And even if they heard it before, that means someone planted it already, and now you've come along and watered it. But only God can give the increase. So you pray, oh God, whether it was the first time or the 100th time that they heard it, Lord, save that person. Listen, when hell becomes a reality in someone's life, we should have the heart and compassion as a Christian to do our best, to pull that one out of the fire. Can I get amen? And a lot of times it takes prayer and fasting. A lot of times it's like coming before God and say, oh God, I lift so-and-so, I lift so-and-so, oh God, save them, oh God. I believe someone was praying like that for me. I wasn't a popcorn prayer. Oh, just save that foolish one. No, somebody was praying and fasting for me. And it came into fruition. It may not have came when they first prayed, but years later, in God's time, bam, the supernatural, the miracle took place. Did you know that you guys are all miracles in here?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, we're all miracles. That's right. And we're not the miracles on a label that's called Motown, okay? We're God's miracles. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So let's look at Paul. Look at this in Romans here. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. What is a bondservant? That means he is now a child of God, and he is a servant, and he's bound to God now. I mean, God owns him, and he has embraced the cross.
Amen.
So that's what a bondservant is, of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now, I know today there's apostle so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, but all apostle means one that has been sent out. And according to the scripture, they're the ones that establish his churches. And that's what Paul did. He went, established a church, and then he moved on. He was sent out. That's what apostle means, one that was sent out. And so Paul was specifically called by the Lord, what? To serve him. And he faithfully, saints of God, carried out this assignment by proclaiming Christ wherever he went. Why? Because look at this. He was entrusted with the good news of salvation. Listen, he had the zeal. Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And God had to knock him off his beast. He was on his way to Damascus to kill the Christians. He had a mandate from the Jewish authorities. It didn't come from Rome. It came from his own Jewish people. And God had to knock him off his beast. And Jesus spoke to him and said, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the thing that came out of his mouth was, who are you, Lord? And God did the miracle in his life. I believe my experience was a Saul experience. God had to knock me off my beast. I was drug infested. I was addicted. You couldn't tell me anything about God. He had to knock me off my beast so that I can look up to him. And sometimes it takes that with some folks. And we can't give up. Can I get an amen? We can't give up on them. So he was entrusted with the good news. Look what he wrote in Galatians. Look at right here. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised, meaning those who were Gentiles, had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. Peter preached to his own, but Paul was used to reach the Gentile world. Praise God. That was a tougher task, because they had no concept of the word of God, us Gentiles. Gentiles were into so much idolatry. Everywhere he went, they would erect all these idols, and they would worship these idols, and he had to come with the anointing of God to destroy those yokes. Where Peter, he would preach the gospel, and the Jews would understand the Torah, the Old Testament, and could tie it in by God's anointing and give them revelation through that, but not Gentiles. At one time, Jesus even said, I didn't come for the dogs. You know, Jews called us dogs back then because we were heathens. And then this one Gentile girl, yeah, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. He said, what great faith is that? I'm here to let you know that God had us in mind the whole time. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so that was Paul's agenda, was to preach to the Gentile. To be entrusted with something means that you're given a responsibility. One for which you and I are accountable now for. Once we come into the saving knowledge, we're accountable to God because now we know what salvation is and what's expected of us. Once again, he doesn't call everyone to a pulpit ministry, but he calls us, number one, to continue to spread the good news to our friends, our family members, our co-workers, our aunts, our uncles, everyone that's around your sphere of influence. We are responsible to share the gospel with them. Amen? And so Paul saw his ministry primarily, as I mentioned, to the Gentiles, as a stewardship for which he would one day give an account to his heavenly Father. And so, let's look at this right up here. Appointed for the defense of the gospel. We are to defend the faith. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Defend the faith. Why? Because there's so many philosophies, there's so many theological indifferences that want to destroy the true word of God. And we can't let that discourage us. Can I get amen? Look what Paul wrote again to the Galatians. To the Philippians. Some indeed, I want you to catch this, what he said. Because there's all kinds of ministries. How many believe there's hundreds of ministries out there, especially in our county? There's Baptists, Presbyterians, there's Methodists, there's Pentecostals, there's Apostolics. There's United Pentecostals, there's Charismatics, the list goes on. And each one of those have a different theme to how they perceive God. But look what Paul wrote in the Philippians. He says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. You ever saw a preacher, looks like he's mad. Man. And you would think, well, wait a minute. Is God mad at me? But some preach from envy and strife. Some also from goodwill. There's some that really have the honesty to share Christ. I want people to be saved. Look at this. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition. Here's the $50 line. Here's the $100 line. Here's the $200 line. I need you guys to write a check now for $2,022 because it's 2022. For selfish ambition. Yet they'll still sneak in the gospel. You need to receive Christ to be saved. But Paul identified. See, if you don't know your word, you'll get caught in some of those ministries. You'll get caught up. If you're not reading your word, you won't know, man, something ain't right here. Something ain't right here. That's being duped. Look at this. Not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains. That didn't do him any good. He was chained up. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. So as you can see, just in this writing of Paul, there are so many doctrines out there. There's false prophets. They'll prophesy. I declare and decree. And there's no word behind it. No scripture. Man, you better back that up with scripture. Someone's going to come out of there, oh, yeah, and nothing ever comes to pass. And then they become discouraged and disgruntled, and they think it's God. Be careful. Be careful. I've seen the shenanigans. I've been there, done that. God says, stay true to my word, and you cannot get lost. Can I get amen? Stay true. Read that, and you won't get lost. My goodness. That selfish ambition is, wow, really got it pointed it out. I've seen these shenanigans before. And so, saints, the Lord gave Paul many opportunities to defend his faith in Christ. Praise God. He reasoned with it with anyone willing to listen. And like him, we must remember that the most effective way to share our faith is simply telling others what Christ has done in your life. So if you're kind of somewhat shallow in the scriptures right now, which you can easily renew your mind through the reading and the teaching of the word, share what God has done for you. Share the miracle that God has pulled, what he pulled you from. The muck and mire that we were all in. Sometimes all we got is our testimony. Can I get amen? So share your testimony. Share, man. You know what? I may not know the Bible like I should know it, but I do know one thing. I was lost and now I am saved. Can I get amen? And God wants to use me. And I want to share with you what God can do for me, he can do for you. And just leave it as that. And if they want to know more about God, invite them to a Bible study. Come on, we can learn and grow together. Because I need to grow more too. So why don't you come with me and we can grow together. Make it exciting for them. Don't make it like dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. So, anointed as a preacher and an apostle was Paul the apostle. Look what he wrote in 1 Timothy here. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul, the majority of his epistles, he wrote when he was tied up to someone else in prison. And they did not have the Donovan experience. Some of you that have friends or family that maybe spent some time in Donovan prison, they have all the amenities. They can watch the Super Bowl. Yeah, they got widescreen TVs. They got cold and hot running showers. They got flushing toilets, sinks. They got a place where they're fed three times a day. It's like a dorm room. They just can't leave the complex. Not Paul. Not Paul. He was tied to prisoners, and they had to defecate on one another and urinate on one another. And just imagine the rats and the roaches that was infested in there. They weren't living by California state codes. He suffered, yet there was joy in his heart. He had to separate the suffering to the eternal joy that was set before him. He knew that the cross was before him. He knew that this will soon pass and that he would be with his God in heaven. This is how we need to take this approach now that we live in 2022. Despite of what happens in our life, despite of what takes place, that soon and very soon, we're going to meet the King. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's all that counts. That's all that matters. We will be with him face to face. Hallelujah. And all I want to hear is this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, this is the time to do all you can. Do all you can with all your might. I believe this is the last leg. The baton has been passed to us. Now take the baton and run with it. There's a finish line now. There's a finish line. This is not time to drop the baton. This is a time to sprint to the end now. Come on, we got to sprint to the end. We're seeing the signs all over the place. These are the last days. If you don't believe these are the last days, then what does God have to show you more? So he said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Look at this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. We have a holy calling on our life now. We've been separated, set aside. You know, sometimes Thanksgiving or Christmas dinners, you bring out the china. You bring out, man, those shiny spoons and knives and, you know, not the plastic ones that look like they are. You bring out the real deal, huh? Yeah. Well, they were set apart for that purpose. We're set apart. So look at yourself as china and silver. God has elevated us to a place, not that we can boast on anything we've done, that we can boast in Christ. Amen. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So before time began, he already separated us in his mind. Isn't that something? But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. He has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, this is the good news. You got to let people know that we can have now eternal life through Christ. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 11, to which I was appointed a preacher. Paul was saying, I was appointed a preacher. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been appointed as a preacher. And if there's no one next to you, turn behind you. I've been appointed as a preacher, right? We've been appointed as a preacher. And for Paul, he was an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Listen, Paul suffered. And there's nothing wrong as suffering for Christ. Some of us are just going to suffer some things. Oh, no, but someone told me I'm just going to prosper. I'm going to just have it all. Now, that's a false gospel. We're going to suffer some things. If they did, who are we? Are we immune to that? No. But God will prepare you to go through those things. Hallelujah. Yes, he will. He will strengthen you. He will comfort you. That's right. And he'll put in your spirit, you can make it. You can make it. There's nothing too hard for God. This is where our faith is tested. We're going to have our faith tested. Can I get amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Look at this. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. So writing the epistle chained, and how that place probably just stunk. He wasn't ashamed to write the epistle for you and I. He goes, somehow, some way, thousands of years later, someone's going to read this and benefit through the power of God. And that's you and I. We're recipients of God's grace. He says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until what? That day. What day is that? When Jesus comes. That day, capital D, that's the day of the Lord. How many is ready to meet him face to face?
I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Listen, I wake up every morning, Lord, is this the day? And if this is not the day, then use me, God. Keep that love in my heart for my wife, for the ministry, for my family, for the church family. Keep that love going, God. Never let that love die. Keep me here until you call me home. There's some wonderful, wonderful men of God that have now left us. Wonderful men. Powerful leaders in this community. And so this is why we're not to take every day for granted. You know that old saying, here today, gone tomorrow. Every day that God gives us, Let it be for the glory of God. Amen. Now, despite many hardships, Paul was determined to complete the task the Lord had given him. He wasn't going to quit. He recognized his calling, relied on God's power, and declared his willingness to suffer for the gospel. He knew he was going to suffer some things because all the opposition he encountered wherever he went. But you know what? That gave him more boldness. The more opposition, the more opportunity. I need you to catch that. The more opposition, the more opportunity to share the gospel. So no matter how dark it gets dark, we need to get lighter and lighter in the inside, that God's light would illuminate and shine bright. Praise God. Despite of the circumstance at hand. And so he was willing to suffer for you and I. Look at this right up here. He was obligated to preach the truth. Paul never shared any fairy tales. He never promised anyone a rose garden. He didn't say when you get saved, everything is going to be all right now and you're going to live in such bliss. Listen, we live in a fallen world. Can I get an amen? And it's going to stay fallen until Jesus comes to renovate it. For those of you that heard about flipping homes, he's going to flip this world. Can I get an amen? He's going to flip it. And we are blessed to live in it with him when he comes back to rule and reign. Paul knew that everything that he now was and is still was indebted to Christ. He was a debtor now. He goes, I owe everything to God. You and I, we owe everything to him, and we can't pay him back 1 cent. But just our love and adoration to him. That's all we can give God, is our heart, our love. Because even Bill Gates' money can't pay his way in. Can I get an amen? Those are big dollars. Something you and I will never see on this side of the earth. And that's okay. That's right. So look what Paul, he wrote this. I'm a debtor. Look at this. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Both to wise and to the unwise. In other words, God called him to preach to us. He was indebted to Christ and indebted to us that we would one day find salvation through the grace of God. Saints, knowing the Lord had called him to evangelize the Gentiles, Paul felt obligated to faithfully present the message of salvation to all of them. Wherever he could go, I need to reach them. This needs to be our desire, to reach those. Some of us have wonderful jobs that we see people on an everyday basis. Preach to them. Let them know. Remind them. Maybe you did a few years back or a few weeks back. But guess what? Remind them again. Because now you're watering what's been planted. Praise God. And since believers have been commissioned to make disciples of all people, we are obligated to share the gospel with all our family members. Oh, that's right. All 11 of my brothers and sisters know where I stand and how I sowed into them. And 3 are still standing. Praise God. I'm praying for the other 8 or 7. Praise God. Praise God. And God's gonna do something that you and I have no control over. And he's gonna bring them into salvation. And he's gonna do it on a day that you and I would have never thought, how did that happen? Well, God made it happen. Can I get amen? So one of the things he was eager to do, he was eager to evangelize the lost. This needs to be birthed in us in the times that we live in now. We need to be eager to evangelize, to share. Listen, you ever heard that old saying? Win one, bring one, or bring one and win one? Every Sunday, we should reach out to someone and bring them. Say, hey, come on. If we all did that on a regular basis, we'd have to go to two services. That's the key, is to share the gospel with someone, tell them about the good news, and bring them. I don't know if 2022, we're going to get raptured out of here, possibly on the Feast of Trumpets. I don't know that. I do know one thing. I see the writing on the wall. I see what Jesus said we would see. We're seeing the birth pains before the tribulation. And I know that the scripture tells us we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Can I get amen? Aren't you so blessed that God's going to take his church out of the way before the wrath is poured out? No one wants to be here hanging out when the wrath is poured out. And so he was eager. Look what he says here in Romans. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So that was his agenda. Paul looked forward to each new opportunity, saints of God, to tell others about Christ. Praise God. So my question is this. Is this true of you? Is this true of me? Because I have been called to the pulpit ministry every service, whether it's Wednesday or Sunday morning, I am driven by God to always give an invitation to receive Christ. And that should be every pastor's and people that have an opportunity to reach through social media, YouTube, Facebook, to those who come to the fellowship. It is a pastor's responsibility to always give an invitation, because you never know who's going to get saved that day. And so I want to say, my desire is like Paul. My desire is to be like Christ. I'm never going to be them, but I can desire to do the things that they did. And so can we. All of us have that opportunity. Can I get amen? Amen. Things that will eventually pass away excite us. But people have eternal destinies and need to know the Savior. So there are some things that excited us in life. Our marriages, going to Disneyland, you know, watching your children grow up, playing football. Those are exciting things, but those things are temporary. Those things come and go. Happiness comes and goes. Can I get amen? But eternal life, you get one shot at it here on earth. You only get one shot. And before you close your eyes here on earth, hopefully the next time you open your eyes, you're in the presence of the Lord. This is why we must eagerly look for opportunities to reach out to anyone and anyhow and any ways. When they share their needs with us, we can be ready to offer them good news of salvation. Amen? So here's the key for you and I. Here's the key right up here. Unashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed. Never say, well, I don't want it to get rejected if I share. Forget about that. I don't care if that person looks like a pit bull. Big and burly. Ready to bite your head off if you open your mouth about Jesus. So what? That's probably the one God's preparing. That's the one that God wants. And one day that person will come back and say, I remember when you shared the gospel with me, and now I'm saved. I'm sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many can't wait to have people come to your life and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for you used him and used her so that I now have a place in eternity. And so never be ashamed, because Paul said it best, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. first to the Jew and then also for the Greek. We need to be under the compulsion to share the good news. What do I mean by compulsion? That means the unction of the Holy Ghost. Say, God, fill me this day. God, empower me this day. That when I speak, it's not my words, it's yours. And let me just say this. When you start sharing the gospel, you'll feel the flow of the Holy Ghost coming right through you. And there's no better place to be. That's great joy in itself. I hope you know that. Sharing the love of God, the grace of God. Because God will then, he will let you know, thank you, my son. Thank you, my daughter, for sharing me to that person. Praise God. Praise God. So Paul knew it best. Look at this. He wrote this. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid up upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. What? Did you catch that? Yes. He said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I'm going to close with this. I'm coming in for a close, of course. But do you know that the Old Testament prophets feared for their life as well? One of the Old Testament prophets that I gleaned off of was he always would tell the kings of the day to repent. And a lot of prophets that would come to the kings during the times of the kings during the Old Testament, they were tossed into dungeons, they were beheaded, they were hung upside down until they died. Some of them were boiled in boiling water. But Jeremiah knew that he had to tell the truth. And look, and so because Paul was compelled to tell others in Christ, the prophet Jeremiah shared a similar experience. We're going to close with this. Look at this in Jeremiah 27 through 9. Oh Lord, you induced me. I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Why was Jeremiah saying I'm in derision daily? Because he knew that his life was at stake when he had to tell a king, you're in sin. He knew that any moment that king would say, off with his head. Look at this. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. So he was in a dilemma here. Look at verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. So he figured this, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. He goes, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, capital H, in God's name. He was figuring out, I just won't say nothing, and my life will continue to live. But look at this. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Did you catch that? God was so in this man. And God is so in us that there should be a fire shut up in our bones that we are compelled to naturally speak the name of Jesus. Look at this. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. He says, I could not. Why? He knew his call. He knew his call. And so I'm going to go quickly here, real quickly, the nature of the gospel, and then I promise we'll close. I need us to know what, right here, look at this. I'm going to go quickly right here. The definition. The Greek word for the gospel is evangelion, which means good news. That's all it means is good news. It's a good news of Jesus Christ and his offer to salvation. You can always go back and pick these up. That's right. I'm going to go right here to the accomplishments. The gospel has redeemed us. You know what redeem means? He bought us back. God, Jesus, bought us back from the devil with his blood. He purchased our salvation with his blood. And so now we're redeemed. Can I get an amen? This is the good news. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Get that in your spirit. That no other people on this earth, other than his own, have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, we've been forgiven. How many of you can remember the horrific things you did? Huh? Oh, come on. I'd be here all night telling you all these horror stories that God has seen me through. You see, on the basis of Christ's payment, the Lord no longer holds those sins against you. Aren't you so blessed? He's dismissed your case. And then he redeemed us. Look at this. He redeemed us. He forgiven us. And now he's justified us. So when God looks at you, it's just as if you never sinned. How many love that story? Huh? Come on, how many love that? Just as if you never sinned. And then he did this. He reconciled us back to God. We were lost without a cause. We were in the wilderness. We were heathens. And he reconciled us back to God through Jesus Christ. Now we're back with him. Praise God. And we're heaven bound and a hell to shun. It is now possible for you and I, through being reconciled to God, to have now a personal relationship with him. And then he sanctified us. I shared it with you. Remember the fine china and the silver that we set aside? Well, he set aside us for that purpose. He set aside. And then he glorified us. Now, I cannot see your glorified state, and you cannot see mine, but he sees us now in a future tense. He sees us in that brand new body that'll never grow old, that'll never die, that'll never be diseased. And we're not bound to the law of gravity no more. Can I get an amen? Some of us can't even jump more than 3 inches off the ground, let alone do a Jordan dunk. Michael Jordan dunk. Oh, I think you can dunk too, can't you? Oh, yeah. Man, I do triple cartwheels, and I dunk the ball all in my mind. I can do that all in my mind. He has set us apart. So my question is this, as we close, who has a message to match the gospel? What other gospel or what other good news out there in the world can match what I just shared this morning? Huh? Walmart's guarantees things for 30 days. That's it. If it's 31 days, I'm sorry. It's yours to fix now. So no one does but God. No one does but God. So as we close, and then I'm going to ask Brother Andre and Sister Leah to come up, whatever they have. You guys can come up now. I leave you with these questions. Have you ever felt that you should share the gospel with someone, but you were too afraid to go through with the explanation? Don't be afraid no more. Can I get amen? Amen? Don't be afraid. Even if it's as simple as, yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It could be as simple as that and say, God loves you. Give your heart to Christ. Number two, do you look for new and different methods to share God's word with others? It's time to get out of our comfort zone, right? And just remember to do what God has called us to do. And thirdly, is there an age group that you feel more comfortable in sharing the good news of Christ? Perhaps this could be an avenue of ministry to help you with your boldness to action. God wants action. Can I get amen? Amen. And he wants it from our life. And I truly believe that God has the best yet to come. Can I get amen? I'm going to give this opportunity right now. Praise God. This opportunity that those who are watching right now, those who are watching on Facebook, YouTube, those maybe who are here visiting, if you never surrendered in giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my obligation and my calling as a pastor to always give an invitation to receive Christ. Some of us hear this 1,000 times already. But when 1,000 years go by in eternity, it'll be a blink. There's no clocks on the wall in heaven. None. We won't need to go to bed and sleep. Our new bodies will sustain us in a whole different manner, in a whole different way. And we will forever be in the presence of the Lord. That is his promise to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I want to challenge you in your faith right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me for you, that you would receive Jesus like we did. For me, it's been 32 years. For some, it's probably been longer. For some, it's maybe just a few months. But there's no time clock with God. It's a walk of faith. So bow your heart and your head and ask God. Ask God to truly come into your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.